My name is Sandy Adamidis, the social media director for the Page International Screenwriting Awards, and your host for The Writer's Hangout, a podcast that celebrates the many stages of writing, from inspiration to the first draft, revising, getting a project made, and everything in between. We'll talk to the best and the brightest in the entertainment industry and create a space where you can hang out, learn from the pros, and have fun.
We've got our tea. We've got our room. Let's do a show.
Hi, I'm Sandy Adamidis.
I'm Terry Sampson. She takes a sip, ladies and gentlemen. It's going down smoothly. I can see it from here. Look at, she's smiling. It's working already.
The tea
in the morning.
Excellent.
Yes. We're still in the morning here. Gee, I wish I had like call letters because it seemed like I was doing a radio thing there.
You know, I love the neighborhood that the studio is in.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
I met your neighbor two houses down. We didn't officially meet, but I can describe his body in full detail.
Well, here's the funny part. You and I both haven't met him officially, but please go on.
He's raking his lawn. I think of those brown things that we talked about in that other episode.
The burrs.
The burrs, right. Mm-hmm. He is wearing very short black shorts and yellow gloves and not much else.
Now, did he have any advertising on him? Did he have a Nike shirt, tramp stamp? Was there anything at all?
He does have tats on his calves.
Tats on calves?
Yes.
Wow.
Could have had it on his torso, but I didn't want to steer.
You don't want to go that far. No. You're just meeting him for the first time, and really it wasn't a meet, was it?
No,
it was not. No, you just said you kind of waved.
Yes, yes.
Any idea of the artwork on the leg?
No, it was two houses away. I couldn't get the graphics.
You know what I like, though? You recognize it as a museum. You just didn't go in.
I have a job to do, art for later.
Okay.
Terry, for today, I wanted to talk about Judy Blume. She's a national treasure, and I came across this article on Literary Hub. It's Judy Blume's Advice for Aspiring Writers. It is chock full of just wonderful, wonderful advice. But let's double back, and can you tell the writers out there who Judy Blume is?
Well, I'd like to ask you off the top of this discussion, Judy Blume sounds like a fake name, is that?
Absolutely, especially for children's books.
Yeah, Blume.
Or a gardener.
Yeah.
Horticulture.
Well, that would be maybe both.
Yes. Lovely name, Judy Blume.
Playing the role.
Oh, I almost was named Judith, my mom told me.
Right.
Just,
wow.
Just thought of that.
So you almost had that going for
you. I almost was called Judy Adamidis.
Oh, that rolls.
Do you like Judy Adamidis?
Yeah, it's like a little, it's like
oh, yeah, it does sound
it's like
good,
a little race car. Judy Adamidis.
Mom, you knew what you were doing.
Yeah, that was nice. Do you think a six-year-old has the life experience to name her brother?
Is that who named, did your
yeah.
sister name you?
Yeah, she was six.
Well, she did a good job, don't you think?
Well, yeah, it's not too, I'm not going to complain about it. It could be a whole bunch worse.
Does Kathy remember naming you? And why did she name you Terry?
I don't know, but I'm going to call her Isabel from this point on because I feel I should be able to name her. I'm late. However, I'm still in there.
It sounds very regal to me, the name Isabel.
Yeah. None of this is making the cut.
Let's go back to Judy Blume.
Okay.
Tell the writers and listeners, Terry, who Judy Blume is.
Judy Blume is a renowned American author known for her contributions to children, young adults, and adult fiction. She began her writing career in 1959. Couldn't wait for the 60s. She's jumping right in. And has authored over 25 novels. 25.
Yeah.
Some of her most famous include Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
I would say the most famous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she somehow didn't say, it's me, Judy, which I'm impressed with. I would have went there. Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing, Deanie, and Blubber. Judith Blume was born in Elizabeth, New Jersey on February 1938.
As I mentioned before, this is from Literary Hub by Emily Temple. Emily gathered quotes for aspiring writers. Judy writes novels. This mm-hmm. All this advice works just as well for screenwriting. And the first quote is, This is the best advice I can give. Read your work aloud. When you read aloud, you find out how much can be cut, how much is unnecessary. You hear how the story flows, and nothing teaches you as much about writing dialogue as listening to it.
Even the Russian judge is going to give that a 10. It is such a great idea.
Yes.
So many mistakes are eliminated by hearing it.
Absolutely.
I've noticed that when I watch a movie with my lovely bride, we'll be watching something and I'll turn to her and I'll say, he didn't read that out loud.
Oh, interesting.
Because
yes.
It just came out flat. Yes. And you can kind of tell that the actor's putting a spin on it a little bit, like, what do I do with this?
Right. Now, I remember sitting next to Carl Reiner. I think this maybe was like 8-9 years ago. He wrote a play from the point of view of people in the audience. So you in the audience was staring at an audience and they were talking. It was really fun. I could feel his unhappiness during moments of silence. And even afterwards, I was expressing how much I liked it. And he was very unhappy and was looking forward to the rewrite because he knew what he had to do. So it's not only just you have been writing for a year. Carl Reiner is a legend.
Yeah.
And heard things the first time he heard his project read out loud.
Yeah, and it comes with grimacing and note-taking and revision.
Yes. Second quote, and this is from a Q&A that Judy had with BuzzFeed. I don't believe in writer's block. For me, there's no such thing as writer's block. Don't even say writer's block. Is writer's block real? Am I wrong in that? Or?
Oh, I've had it, but it was early.
Early, yes.
It's a great story because this is songwriting, by the way. So this is fantastic. I'm going to tie something in that could have never been tied in before. My wife was leaving from an airport to go to San Francisco and work watching a director named Carl Reiner.
Oh, no, sir.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I know. And, you know, she doesn't like to work out of town, but it's Carl Reiner.
Yes.
She's going. So she had a great time there, but she left and then gave me something, her leaving. And it was actually one of these things where if you've ever done this, this is by the way, if you don't like gooey romantic things, you can turn this down for a second.
Or fast forward.
Yeah, fast forward. There you go. And so it was one of these. I got out of the car. I got her out of the car. I got her luggage. She got the luggage. We had a smooch and I'll see you soon. And she walked off. I got back in the car and I just thought, I'm going to turn around and look. And she was turning around and looking at me.
Oh,
that started
so
a song.
Sweet. Oh, really?
Yeah. That's got me out of the block.
Oh, and that got you. Oh, you were having writer's block for
3 months.
Songwriting for 3 months. Why do you think you had writer's block? Was it writer's block meaning that you could not figure out a rhyme or you were in the mood to write or you had a lot of work to do? You would sit down and you could not write.
It's based on the idea that your brain tells you you have to do something. Your brain is saying, go to work. You got to work. Do something. Mm-hmm. There's actually a second part to it that isn't quite as romantic, but it's true. So I had this and I had the idea of it, but I couldn't write any melodies or anything until I sat down and said, all right, I'm just going to sit here and write something crappy. I don't care. It'll be fine. I'll just write something that's not good. And it turned out great, of course, because I let loose of everything.
Right.
I said, I'm just going to work on something. And I have this idea.
And I don't mean to be pedantic, and I don't have any answers for this. So
I'm going to look up that word, but keep going.
You didn't not have anything to write. So did you really have writer's block, or did you have judgment block?
Well, I think it's all those things. I think
it's combined.
I can't write anymore because I haven't been able to do it. So I ran out of talent. That was my joke to people. What are you doing? Nothing. I ran out of talent. It's gone. I used it all up. Now I can't do anything.
And the most wonderful thing about talent is you really can't use it all up.
No, I like the idea of making fun of a situation because then it devalues it. And then you sort of like kind of roll on.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah.
But you know me and a good idea. This is what spurs me on more than anything else. A good idea. And now I only worry about writing something when I've got a good idea.
You got a good idea.
I'm going to say to anybody writing out there, especially if you're kind of like stuck. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I have the duties of mowing the lawn here at the big house and other things. Mm-hmm. And when I have to do something that's really takes no thinking at all, just moving my legs and pushing something.
Right.
And I'm relaxed. Stuff will come into my mind because the mind was just going, well, you're not doing anything. So why don't I start thinking of stuff? Mm-hmm. And usually things come in. That's really a good thing. So walk away from it, but do something, you know, that you don't have to concentrate on. Even a walk would work.
I would say you don't have writer's block. You're just don't feel like writing, or you're holding yourself back, or you don't have the answer. Yours is, define yours.
Mine is all those things, but it's also questioning myself about, you know, or feeling just any kind of pressure. Mm-hmm. But sometimes pressure
just something mindless.
Yeah, yeah.
And that will get you past writer's block. Okay. The next quote is from an interview with Scholastics. Judy says, observe, make notes, listen carefully. Listen to how people talk to one another. A good writer is always a people watcher. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so true.
Yep. It feels like that's now, if you do something like that, all of a sudden your character's, their ability to be something different gets way bigger.
Yes.
Well, here's one from BuzzFeed. When you're writing, you've got to knock the critic off this shoulder, knock the censor off this shoulder, and all those voices in your head, that's a whole nother problem, but let's keep going, telling you that you suck and nobody's going to read what you're writing and no one's going to buy it or publish it. You have to leave them outside the workspace and get rid of them. That's exactly true.
It is very tough.
Because if you want to be a successful creator of anything, you got to question yourself, and you will. Mm-hmm. But you also have to cut yourself some slack and believe that whatever road you're taking is the right one until somebody offers you money to change it.
Well said, Terry. This is from Judy's website. Quote, I once met a woman who wanted to write. She told me she read 72 books about writing, but she still couldn't do it. I suggested that instead of reading books about writing, she read the best books she could find, the books that would inspire her to write as well as she could.
Oh, that's excellent.
Actually, I think Judy was being really nice here. I would have said, you know, put down the book and start writing.
I would have said, you've read 72 books. It's time to write a book about writing. You're covered in every way. What more can you know?
Okay. The next quote is from Reddit. Ask me anything. Judy Blume. Start on the day something different happens. OMG. Writers. That's an easy one. Tattoo it on your forearm.
Or your neighbor's leg.
Or your neighbor's leg. Start on the day that something different happens. I don't want to see your morning routine. I don't want to see you walk to your car and chat with your neighbor, unless it is hilariously funny. You're dropping clues. But I...
Or you're walking by clues, or you're part of it. Like, you're establishing that you always go out that morning and then you never do it again in the movie.
Exactly. Yeah. Or if you don't walk out in the morning, that means you're the timekeeper and the world ends if you don't walk out the next morning. Please do not show us the mundane life moments for 5 pages.
Right.
And I've seen it for 10 pages. Don't do it. I was very passionate about that one, Terry, don't you think?
Yeah, because so many good things can fail based on not getting it going.
As a reader, we can't wait 10 to 15 pages to go, oh my goodness, this is a coming of age story.
Who's got the time?
Okay, the next quote is from Scholastics. It's best not to dwell on what you've written, wishing it could be different. We all write what we can. We do the very best we can. You might think, oh, I wish I could write like so-and-so, but you have to write like yourself.
That is a courageous thing to say. I'm going to use the word courageous because you can't succeed with everything you write unless, of course, it's you or me. We always do. And that's fine. But sometimes a writer can carry around this weight, like I've written now 43 scripts and nobody's picking anything. Mm-hmm. And he goes, why am I going to write this next one? Mm-hmm. It's because you have a new idea and you're going to go at it and you do this for, that's what you want to do.
Exactly.
So yeah, let go of the weight of that.
Very good. On Judy's website, she said, quote, yes, rejection and criticisms hurt. Get used to it. Even when you're published, you have to contend with less than glowing reviews. There is no writer who hasn't suffered.
Okay.
Absolutely. There was Carl Reiner in his 80s.
Right.
Upset because
after all that success,
he didn't feel like he got the cadence of a real audience.
Didn't think he quite nailed it, and he was pounding on himself a little bit.
Yep. Wasn't thinking about the 154 episodes of the Dick Van Dyke Show that he wrote. From the Guardian interview, quote, everybody who writes fiction draws from their own life, but if it ended there, it would be very boring. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
I know you think it's really funny that you put the toaster toast lever down, and when it pops up, your husband catches it. But if you're trying to portray, you know, a thriller, well, no, that could fit into a thriller, but, you know, it might not be worth of 3 pages of setup for me to get to the pop-up part.
If it came out a live grenade, you had something else going on there. Now you got my attention.
There's a post that's going around where there's this cat and it's in front of a toaster and it keeps looking down inside the toaster and the owner is off screen, is just going to the cat. There's nothing in there. There's nothing in there. There's no toast. And the cat keeps reaching in and a mouse pops out.
No.
Yes. And it's like, you got to listen to the cat. The cat knows what's going on. From Judy's website, quote, there is no right way or wrong way. There are 100 different ways to tell the same story. Whatever works for you is okay.
Good. This is another cool thing that she said based on that thing to accept you, what you wrote is what you wrote. This is another connector to that.
And I'm just going to now completely negate what I just said.
Okay.
How your family makes toast, that could be charming and wonderful in a script.
Okay.
I just don't want to see it for 10 pages in the day of the life of when it doesn't come up again. Okay, yeah. And the last one, Terry, I'm going to hand this over to you. I think you should read it.
Okay. Keep writing. Don't let anyone ever discourage you. Just keep on going because you can't help yourself. You have to write. No one chooses to become a writer.
Yep, you're born that way.
You write because you can't not write.
Exactly.
Including that sentence, which is a little wobbly.
It's a little wobbly.
Somebody wrote that. You write because you can't not write.
Well, she was speaking. It's
a quote. Of course.
Yes.
Of course.
Well, what do we say every episode of The Writer's Hangout? Keep writing.
The world needs your stories.
Oh, another thing that we say that I would really like to highlight, give us a review. It really, really, really does help us out. We really appreciate it. And 5 stars would be nice, too.
And that's a wrap for The Writer's Hangout. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Your positive feedback will help us keep the show going so we can continue bringing you more future episodes. Remember, keep writing. The world needs your stories. The Writer's Hangout is sponsored by the Page International Screenwriting Awards, with executive producer Kristen Overn, producer Sandy Adamitis, and myself, Terry Sampson. And our music is composed by Ethan Stoller.